Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Woo. People are like, what? What is this?
I know.
Is this manna from heaven right now? Hey.
Yes, they are.
How you doing?
Man. I figured I'd get a Justin
Michael
Wyatt
Jackson
voice,
in the morning.
You know.
You've been,
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm feeling, you know, good.
Good.
How
I'm
are
glad
you?
For that. Yeah. I'm okay. I think right now we're swimming and that's how I feel and all the things.
At least you're not drowning.
Yeah. I mean, that's debatable. It depends on who you ask.
Your dog paddling? Doggy
yeah,
paddling?
I think so.
Is
we're
it doggy
it,
paddling
I mean,
or dog
yeah,
paddling?
Yeah. Doggy paddling.
Oh, okay.
Doggy paddling.
Okay.
But I mean,
why not puppy paddling? That would be better, wouldn't it?
Because do puppies do that? I don't know.
Puppy paddling? Not like, I didn't mean like that kind of pee pee.
People hey, are like, what?
I texted someone and I said, hey, life is full of a lot of opportunities that are great and weighty at the same time. And I realized my depravity and inability. And so I appreciate your prayer. And so I would say that sums my life. Like, it's just so full of so much stuff. But also, like, it's good.
Mm, yeah.
But I do need to rest.
Yes.
How are you doing on that? We talked about that, getting better at that.
I'm trying to get better at it still. There's just
you're working to rest.
Yeah, I'm working to rest. You know, I was telling, you know, been, you know, at the gym, somebody was like, hey, you're just, good job. You've been, like, I was like, I feel like now I'm at the point where I'm like, if I don't exercise, if I just don't rest as well. So that's part of getting older, folks, just so you know, those
folks.
Of you who are younger than us, just know it's coming
youngins.
For you. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in the busyness of life right now, we both, have a lot we could complain about.
And, we do.
But we're going to right now.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Right.
You know what really chops my...
Who has more to complain about? That's a question. But
we both have six kids.
That's right.
So
that's what we're talking about. It's not six kids, but complaining today. Kind of following this past week, a sermon in Philippians chapter 2, continuing in this. And really, we're talking about our culture's propensity towards complaining, and how do we as Christians really not, how do we just be different than the world in this and not fall into the trap? Because let's just face it, it's so easy to complain.
It is.
It is so easy to complain. And
it's
so,
like Snoop Dogg said,
yeah,
be different, be nice.
Just, yeah. And, you know, a few people in the Bible said the same thing. So verse 14 of chapter 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Some versions say complaining, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world.
All shine right. bright like a diamond.
There you go. So why do we complain? Why do you complain so much? Just kidding. You don't complain so much.
Dang, bro.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
I think we complain for a myriad of reasons. I just want to say myriad.
What a great
I think disappointment stems from expectation. So I think we have ungood. Not unrealistic. I'm trying to think of the right word. We don't have the right expectations.
Yeah. How do we fix it? What would be the right expectations? And what are wrong expectations?
Picturing yourself naked. Here's what I mean by that. Job said, naked, I came from the womb. And
people
naked,
are like, whoa, kids,
naked,
hang on.
Naked, I will return.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm not going to complain about what I don't have. And I think, like, I know that when somebody's hurting, like, you can't just be like, dude, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God.
Right.
But you do need to get to that truth. Maybe just not that approach.
Right. Yeah. Somebody said one time, a pastor said, you know, everything above zero is grace to us. God's grace to us. Like, we don't deserve it. So that's perspective. That's the same perspective. And I think, you know, distorted expectations, and then also we're selfish. I mean, let's just be honest. I think a lot of our complaining is because we naturally walk around.
Selfish.
We're selfish people. We want things how we want them. And we naturally view our perspective as the
perspective,
the right perspective. Mm-hmm.
God doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Like I should be right. I think that, even just in interactions with other people, like we just think our perspective is right. And then we kind of project our perspective onto God, like God, mm-hmm. you should have done mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. I deserve this. Mm-hmm. I say that in premarital counseling all the time. You're going to learn some things really quickly in marriage when you're now under the same roof. And one of those things, hopefully, that you learn is just because someone's different doesn't mean they're wrong.
Yeah.
Now, differences can be wrong for mm-hmm. sure because there's objective right and wrong. But mm-hmm. Our way is not always the right way.
Yeah. I mean, people would disagree with what I'm about to say.
And then complain about it.
Yeah, it's true. I think like a mostly appropriate way of viewing things is to hope for the best and expect not the best, mm-hmm. not necessarily the worst, but, yeah. And I just think that's what the Bible teaches, right? Like we always hope, mm-hmm. but then we know like we're in a broken world. And so like we may not get that. So I think some of it, I mean, I do think it comes down to contentment, right? Like, am I content with what God gives mm-hmm. me? And, you know, I think we should be content, but not complacent. So it doesn't mean that we're like, okay, this is all I got. Womp, womp, you know, yeah. like, but it does mean we're like, okay, if like God has something we can't see in store. And so I just think we're bratty in America.
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, all the time in ministry.
Somebody just liked that clip.
They
right
probably
there.
Did. Like,
they just hit the like button.
But like, you know, I was thinking today, mm-hmm. you know, like pastors, I've just stopped getting so frustrated with how many people aren't regularly in church because travel ball matters, right? Like, I'm not even that frustrated with it anymore. Like, I'm thankful for all the people who aren't, you know,
perspective, yeah.
Yeah, I've just started to be like, you know, instead of like, man, I wish we had more money to do this. I'm like, just thankful for what we do have. Like,
yeah.
And for me as an American, I think I could easily compare myself to so many people and be like, I should be so fortunate. Mm. And so I just really think, but that shouldn't even be the basis, right? Like it should be whatever I have. And usually the people who have least are the most happy, which is amazing. I think there's like, didn't you talk about this one time? Like, there is like a happiness level and it stops at a certain income level, right?
Like, yeah, I remember there's statistics. Like basically like people think this certain threshold of income, but statistics show, studies of happiness show that like it doesn't actually make people happier. Yeah, so, right.
And of course we're speaking generally, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
But. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when, as you're saying that, it makes me think of like when I talk to people and they're like, regarding mission trips specifically, and they're like, I just can't wait for my kid to go because they're going to see how good we have it here. And I'm like, that really shouldn't be our motivation.
No, it should not.
Now, it will. Absolutely. It will be a byproduct.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be a byproduct unless you're just completely self-absorbed. But it's not the motivation. But I think part of it is it goes back to perspective. And we need to be perspective. And I think it's because we are entitled rather than viewing our lives as being stewards of things.
Can I be preachery right now?
Go, preacher boy. It's kind of your job.
So things like that should not be comforting. They should be convicting.
Yeah.
And if they're not convicting and they're still comforting, then you'll keep complaining.
You will. Whoa, well, that's a lot of C's.
That's right.
That's a lot of C's.
But you think about it, right? We want comfort. We worship comfort. And this is crazy. This is how depraved we are. Mm. We'll go on a mission trip and compare ourselves, and it'll make us feel more comfortable about who we are.
Yeah.
Instead of being convicted about how they're living and how we're not.
And how we can help and how we, yes. Absolutely.
And that'll quickly lead back to, because now comparison has become the comfort.
Right.
But then we're in our setting where we're comparing ourselves with people who have more.
Yeah.
And we'll start complaining again.
Yeah. Woo! And we want more. And so like we want that comfort. And when we don't have the comfort, we will complain. And so I guess a question in all this though is there ever, and if so, what is the appropriate avenue to complain? Is there a good, is there an appropriate time to complain?
I tried to talk about that a little bit on Sunday, but probably didn't like I should. I think we have to ask ourselves the question, like, is what I'm saying because I am trying to deal with how I'm feeling and be more like Christ? Mm-hmm. Or is what I'm saying because I want this person to validate me for how I feel?
Yeah.
Again, that doesn't mean you don't need to be validated, because it is comforting sometimes, like when I'm having an interpersonal struggle And like, I feel like I can talk to you and Steve, and like, I'm like, Justin or Steve are going to tell me like, dude, you're messed up. You're thinking wrong. And even might tell me like, hey, there's this 10%. And then if I tell you and you're like, yeah, no, I mean, what you're saying is right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is validating. Now, you guys aren't usually like, okay, so treat that person like a jerk. You know, you're like, I mean, you just, so I think it's like, what's your aim here?
I think, you know, I think there's appropriate places and people to whom we can vent.
Like Starbucks is an appropriate place.
You know, out loud and for everybody, you know,
city council meetings.
That's right. All those things. But there's appropriate times, like when we, because we need to
Facebook.
Just publicly in front of everyone.
Church business meetings.
That's right. Church business meetings. Oh, let's think of all the inappropriate times.
But I felt that one.
That's
when
right.
You said
I know,
it.
Right? But I think because we cannot
YouTube
helpfully. Just keep on. We can't healthfully hold all this in and try to process. We need other people to help. I mean, part of the venting process is getting it off our chest. But the people that we are to whom we are venting, like, need to be people who that we know are going to be like, all right, you feel better. Thanks for sharing that. Now, what do you need from me? And let's guide people to the truth, not people who are just gonna be like, yeah, you're so right. Go tell that guy how he's being said, or go tell that, or And I think a piece of this is like, sometimes we do need to vent to get it off our chest and be like, all right, so that's how I'm feeling. Separate the feeling from reality. Right. Now, I know that I've got to walk forward in this situation. So now that the feelings are kind of out of the way, now I can deal with what's the objective reality and approach it more healthfully. That's what we've got to do. I mean, and I think like, if a big difference in complaining and like addressing a real issue. So I think sometimes I'll use church because we work at a church. You know, people have all kinds of ideas and sometimes they're complaints. People that we like to listen to, if they're coming to us with an idea or like, hey, this isn't going well, they're also coming with a solution, and the objective is to make things better for others and the church.
Concern, not to voicing not, a concern,
yeah, voicing
versus
a concern.
Complaining.
That's helpful. But just a complaint where they're not involved, not engaged, and not willing to offer any help towards a solution, I'm like, all right, so what do we do with that? So I think part of it is like coming with solutions. You know, I think, you know, dealing with a specific situation right now with one of our kids and something at school, it's like we're having an issue with with a teacher. You know, we could complain about that or we can come with solutions. And so like we're trying to address it from a perspective of like, hey, we understand what's going on here. And here's some solutions we see to help meet the needs here. So I think.
But in fairness, you did share that with me.
And I vented for a minute.
But you knew James Ross is going to rebuke you.
I'm like sinning in my anger.
And I do think that's a bit like, are you just saying this to people because you want to build consensus about your opinion, or are you saying this to people who you know are going to say, hey, I know you, bro.
Yeah, so much of our complaining, I think you alluded to this earlier, is us looking for validation about how we feel.
And if we're insecure.
And if it's like, in our complaining, and in that, we're looking for someone who's like, and now they're on our side. And now we kind of like, in our complaint, can try to grow a mob mentality of like, now we're going to tackle this because look like people on my side when it's like, that is not.
And what's weird is people will do that like on social media without giving the fullness of the story. And you could build a consensus so easily today. Is this great?
Well, because our perspective's so limited. Even if we're involved in the situation, have our perspective, and we've got to work to get the other perspective.
Yeah, I've seen, like, you know, people go to social media, they build a consensus, but then people who are really a part of the situation, like, aren't with that person who's got all the support, right? So it's just so easy. Hello, hashtag concerned citizens in Iceville. But anyway, like, you know, that is reality. I think I talked to our student pastors who we had on campus on Friday for a retreat, or not retreat, like a dinner. And I was just encouraging them, like, go to God, have a spouse you can trust, then have a few brothers, you know, or sisters you can go to, and then have some older people who you can go to about any real issue. Because that's going to help you like listen to the right kind of voices,
right?
And you said that I think so many people don't go to God first.
Yeah, like,
and like,
yeah,
that's,
take your complaint to him. Like,
when I say offensive to God, I mean, you know, I don't know that God's offended, but that's offensive to the character of God that we wouldn't go to him first with our complaint and leave it maybe at the altar.
Right. And I think sometimes maybe people do this because they, we know we're wrong, but we want to complain to other people. And if we're afraid, if we like take that to God, like the Holy Spirit's going to convict us, and maybe that's what we need. But also, like, I think sometimes too, it just comes back to like our, you know, out of balance view of our relationship with God as Father, like Father wanting his children to come to him with anything and everything. And that he, you know, will listen and discipline and rebuke, but also correct and love. Like that's what the Father does. So.
Yeah. And if someone's offending you, like your goal should be to go to them. Mm. And so anybody you're going to before you go to them is for help on how to go to them, not just for validation. And then last thing I'll say about this is like, there are certain people that you're just always unhappy about everything. And it's like, man, you know, and you just know those people, right? Like you don't want to go to a restaurant with them necessarily. You don't want to go on a trip with them. You don't want to go to church with them necessarily. Mm. You want to marginalize them. And I would just say, if you're like, I don't know who you're talking about, might be you.
Yeah. Could be.
Just might
maybe
be you.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm done.
There you go.
So, I'm not complaining about anything else.
I mean, I think a remedy.
Are we complaining about complaining?
Yeah, right, we are. People who complain are so annoying. I guess I'm annoying. So I think another thing is just gratitude. That's a remedy for this. Let's just be grateful. You know, we kind of landed with that
and
Sunday.
Philippians 4, like, he gets into that.
Yeah, just be grateful. And when you
rejoice in the Lord always.
It's hard to be grateful and complain.
Let your reasonableness be known to everyone.
Yeah.
Don't be anxious about anything, but everything with supplication and prayer, with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Let your requests be made known to God, and he's able to give you. Guard your hearts and minds with peace. Philippians 4.
Good job. Yeah, that's what it is.
Paul said
it. I mean, you know, but good job.
Yeah, remembering.
There you go. Cool. Well, hey, if you want to complain about what we just said, you can send us a message and we'll read it out loud. Just kidding. We won't do that. But maybe would. Maybe we will if it's salty enough. So yeah, let's dive into questions.
Okay.
So, one question is, hey, we had Serve Day this past weekend and we partnered with another church in our area. We partnered with Rocky Bayou Baptist Church. Why? Why did we do that? And why aren't all these Baptist churches just one all church?
I think
just
this is a follow-up from our last week. We talked about Serve Day and kind of what, and so somebody was curious more.
Yeah.
So I think why partner with Rocky, man?
Because, so it wasn't just Rocky. We've actually, you know, reached out to a few other churches to engage them, and Rocky was like, they were like, yeah, we'll do it. And that conversation actually happened at, you know, to align to, it's hard to like get things on our church calendar, but then when you start to get another church involved, it's hard to get two church calendars to sync. So these plans actually began last year. We reached out to a few other churches and invited them to participate, you know, just in casual conversation. Hey, if you're interested. Hey, we're one body of Christ.
We are.
And I think what made this unique is that Rocky Bayou Baptist Church, you know, they have great leaders. Their pastor, Troy, is just a great, humble man, great loves the Lord. They have great leaders at that church. And they were like looking to kind of do something like this anyway. And we had done this and they're like, hey, this is just a great way. And you know, we say every Sunday, we don't just want to build a church, we want to grow the kingdom. We don't want to just grow a church, we want to build the kingdom. So this is a way to do that. So why are not all the Baptist churches just one church? Well, because
sin.
We're Baptist. historically Baptist as autonomous congregations, when there's disagreement over doctrine, because there's not a ruling presbytery who just says, this is what we believe. There's splits in doctrines or splits, not just in doctrine, but even just methodology. And let's just be honest, beyond that, sometimes just over opinions, churches have split. And so there's multiple churches.
Yep.
Then that's why there are in some bigger cities, First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church. And then they start naming after whatever street they're on or whatever community they're in.
Well, that's here. We were the First Baptist Church. Yep. We were first, right? Church on Bayshore is First Baptist Church of Niceville, Inc. That wasn't our original name, but when other, and then we planted Rocky Bayou Baptist Church. And by planted, I mean, in the 70s, there was an argument over whether, like how to handle divorce and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so some saw it one way and some didn't. And Rocky Bayou started out of that. I also think that has a little bit to do with some other Baptist churches in the area.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually it is from the First Baptist Church. But I think I think you hit the nail on the head. Is it's when we can't. It's usually the tertiary issues become secondary when like a third level issue should be a third level issue becomes a secondary issue. So like, you know, there are people who like really feel strongly about something. And at the end of the day, you can't like we don't feel as strongly and we feel as strongly and we feel like it's right and wrong. And it's like we clearly just can't have it's not that we can't have fellowship, but we can't have like partnership, like ongoing partnership. But like to serve the community, I mean, we don't have strong doctrinal differences with Rocky. We probably have pragmatic or tertiary differences with Rocky. But, you know, we have doctrinal differences with Crosspoint, but we would serve the community. Yeah,
absolutely.
With them.
And we have. And, really one of the reasons we didn't do serve day with them is because, one, their serve days were established even before ours were, and they've got it going. And so
I didn't even know they had serve days.
Yeah, they have had them. And it was different formats and things, but they already had some of this going. And, you know, Tyler Fuller, who's their missions pastor, does a great job with that. We're friends. And, you know, we just said, hey, like, they're already doing this, and our heart is like to do this here and then to help it multiply because we want to help in any way we can. Other churches do this, and so that's why. There we go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would answer that we're not all the same for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But honestly, a lot of it's relational.
And I think, goodness, there's, you know, even here, there's a lot of churches in our community and in Okaloosa County. You know, we recognize that, you know, more than 2/3 of our community are not churched. It takes all these, I believe, it takes all these different churches and their different expressions to reach all kinds of different people. So,
yeah, I'm not hating on the mega church, but the truth is a lot of people don't get connected in mega, the bigger you get, the easier it is to just show up and not really be connected. And God uses that, but I think you need more and more normative size, smaller churches to really make disciples. And that's what we're called to do is make disciples, not get people to go to a building on a Sunday.
Exactly. All right. Next question is this. There was a revealing article on the increasing persecution in India. Persecution is increasing worldwide, including North America. The radical left is tagging those that believe in God-given rights as dangerous Christian nationalists. How would Boggy Talk suggest we navigate those waters and to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in India? So I'll start with the India thing very quickly. So what we're seeing there really is it's not just – so I will be very clear. There is definitely persecution of Christians. There's also persecution of Muslims in India by –
There has been for a long time.
And really you have right now the government there is more of a they're really wanting to – their vision is for it to be a Hindu state. And so you see increasing persecution there. With the folks that I know, that we know, that our church is involved with in that area, we've seen that. So that's – and then there are false accusations that are brought up, and so we do really need to be praying and concerned.
Praying.
You know, so here in the States, I think we do
that
see.
Sounds like how they say it in India.
That's right. Yeah.
Right along. Anyway.
So radical left, far right. I mean, again, we're getting into political terms and that. I mean, I think we do see some of that where anything is labeled as, you know, anything that. I don't know. We're getting a label, so it's tricky to make this short and concise.
It is tricky. It's tricky.
But we have to stay on guard.
Rock around on right on top. It's tricky.
That's right. What are you singing?
It's tricky.
Oh,
you don't
tricky.
Remember that song?
Yes, yeah. I do. Okay. Took me a second. I think we have to be careful.
That wasn't Tone Loc, but it was the same like beat.
That's funny.
Yeah.
As Christians, what do we have to do? We have to be careful to make sure that our faith is what the Bible prescribes as Christian faith and the expression of Christian faith. And, I think we don't have time to get into the whole definition of Christian nationalism and all those things right now, but like that we are not married to a political label or really even a political system that supersedes our identity in Christ and who the scriptures call us to be. Mm-hmm. So I think we do that looking forward, knowing that nothing can stop the Lord and nothing can really stop his church. Mm-hmm. Like the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So, no matter what that means in political systems, in countries here or across the world. So those are big overriding principles. And we remain faithful.
Yeah. I think the question, I think it's multiple, you know, it's separate. Like, it's really not even the same reason that the persecution is happening in America and India. You know what I'm saying?
It's like different.
The India is actually nationals, right? Like it's a nationalistic viewpoint that says we need to be like originally India was. And so therefore that means anybody who believes differently is not welcome here and needs to conform.
Yeah.
So then if you take that to America, that would be Christian principles or Judeo-Christian principles. But is it right to say anyone who is going to be here needs to conform, right?
Right.
And then there is a group who feels like, hey, we haven't had freedom of belief, speech, religion, whatever, who is not Christian in America, who in some ways, not all, I think not even that many actually, but some of them who are loud are kind of antagonistic towards Christian conservative beliefs. And so I think like it's just, you know, you're really talking about two different things. I think for a Christian, the question is like, what is God saying to us? And I think God spoke very clearly about how Israel should be, but he did not speak very clearly about how other governments should be. He did speak to Christians and how they should be in any position they're in and how Christians should respect their government. But even in Rome, he was saying that to non-Christian empire, you know? Yeah. So I just think we're experimenting, we're fleshing it out. We're trying to contextualize the scripture. And so what I would say like in America is I think we need to be careful to buy into extreme talk because I don't think the majority of Americans, when you have a conversation, really are that extreme. We've had a little bit of tension in our city, and I don't want to speak too much just because I've been kind of engaged. And I'm like, my goal is like, let's get people in a room talking.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so we understand each other and hear each other's heart. And we try to do what's best to respect the dignity of each person because I think that's what a Christian living in a free nation should do. I'll be honest with you. This is crazy.
Be honest.
To some people, if a mosque was trying to be built in Niceville and it was trying to be stopped, I would actually be supportive of the mosque being built because even though I think they're wrong and they're going to hell and it grieves me, I do not think that it is right to restrict them from being able to worship the way they feel. And I should advocate for their right to do that. But that goes against a lot of my convictions.
Right. I was actually about to go there. Like historically, Baptists have really, I think in this country led the way in religious liberty in terms of freedom of expression, and advocating because we recognize that to be a Christian, it is, you are not Christian by birth and you're not Christian by culture. You're Christian because of faith in Jesus Christ, and you cannot force anyone into that relationship. So we recognize that this is a, you know, willful submission to the Lord. So where other religions do not teach that. We recognize that everyone has and that freedom of expression. Do we want everyone to be a Christian? Absolutely. Do we want our culture to reflect, Christianity? Yeah. But at the same time, people have the ability to choose that. So, I mean, that gets into it. I agree 100%. Like, I wouldn't want that, but also they should have the ability and the right to do that.
I think that the only thing I'll say to this is like, I do think that everybody's beliefs affect themselves publicly. So like Tim Keller said, saying that belief should be held privately has to be said publicly. It's a belief that has to be said publicly. Yeah. So like the idea that like there's private me and public me and that it isn't affected, like the private me doesn't affect public me, is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just incorrect. So I think we as Christians cannot take our eyes off of the reality that, you know, everybody's beliefs are affecting society. And so where I'm getting is when it comes to kids, you know, like, you know, the progressive agenda has affected schools. And so, like, we are right to say, whoa, 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 we're going too far down this route.
Yeah.
And just to keep our pulse on it. You know, and it's going to swing back and forth. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until there's a perfect king.
Yeah. Whew, man. So I'm sure people have differing opinions on that. And hey, that's why it's boggy. So
complain about us all you
right.
want.
That's right. All right.
All right. So, well, we got to wrap this up,
game,
right?
Not a game. A Mount Rushmore
Mount
here.
Mount Rushmore. I'm liking the Mount
complaining,
Rushmore.
Talking about complaining. So we're going to talk about our best and worst, the Mount Rushmore of customer service experiences.
Okay.
And we're going to try to make these quick because each of these is probably, there's a story there. So why don't we just go back and forth? All right.
Sounds
that
great.
Sound good? So you start.
Okay, so this isn't me, but I just got to tell the story. So whenever I was working for this mortgage company in Jacksonville, we part of like what we were, like our team would be, they weren't really collectors, but they would call high-risk borrowers, and they would basically walk them through making their first payment and second and third payment mm-hmm. anyway, and just making sure they're good because we were a subprime mortgage company. Anyway, so we did hire people often with collections experience. And we were doing an interview one time with this guy, and the question was, tell us about a time you went above and beyond with a customer. And he told us about how he was on the phone with a customer, and she started having a heart attack or something. And yeah, and so he's calling 911 for her and all that. We're like, man, this is awesome, cool story. And then I was like, well, how did that, you know, make you feel? And he's like, I felt good because I still collected her payment.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
So she's waiting for, he's on the phone with her, waiting for the ambulance to get there. And he's like, while we're at, can you get your checkbook out and give me the routing number?
He didn't like, number? You know, if you die right now, this is going to be passed on to your children.
I
like,
know. Isn't how that terrible, crazy?
How terrible.
I like, dude,
that is
really?
Crazy. That is terrible.
So he did not get hired.
Oh, well, good. Glad. Good call on that. You probably dodged a bullet. So I'm going to start with a good one because I think the rest of mine are more negative. And how do you talk about customer service experiences without talking about Chick-fil-A? And this goes back before Chick-fil-A was as big as it is now.
Okay.
So when I was in college,
Georgia,
there was...
Y'all got to take
credit
right,
for That's right. Take credit for Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So in college, there was a big Chick-fil-A in town, and it was a dwarf house. If you're not familiar with Chick-fil-A, used to have dwarf houses where it was half of it was fast food, half of it was a sit-down restaurant, Chick-fil-A. So we would go every Thursday, a big group of friends and from college, we would go there for lunch. And it just became a thing where they knew we were coming. So one day we show up and there were probably anywhere from like 10 to 15 to 20 of us. You know, one day we showed up and our table was already set for us.
Oh,
and then we're like, this is so cool. And then like a few weeks later, we go and the table is set up for us and there's already pictures of sweet tea on the table. And this is for college students.
Wow,
it wasn't like, you know,
broke.
And then it became like, you know, a few of us would order like their Polynesian dressing and crackers to dip it in because we weren't going to go because it was like spring break or whatever. So we called ahead and said, hey, you guys are doing this for us. We just want to let you know we're not going to be there. So, you know, it was great.
Wow.
I would just say that's above, especially for college students who they aren't, we tipped, but we probably are not leaving super awesome
you
tips.
You tip at Chick-fil-A?
At that, because it was not the, it was the sit down restaurant. He had a waiter.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was the bougie
dwarf house.
That's
Chick-fil-A
right. There you go. Thing. So way to go, Chick-fil-A.
True Kathy was there making, making
he
sandwiches
was, he was
for
there
you.
In the back.
Yeah.
All, right.
All you Atlanta area people.
Yeah, that's right. We claim it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, your turn.
So this is a quick one. Being a customer with Cox Communications.
the worst ever.
This is terrible.
The worst ever. Sorry if any of you work
for
Cox.
I could list so many things.
Listen, I just recently canceled Cox and it felt so good. It felt great. So,
great.
Yeah.
I told them when I canceled because I was having so we had like a little issue last year where somebody like went on and like put our church on a website somewhere and the IP address was not that of our staff and they would not give me a printout verifying like, hey, you know, you've never had that IP address.
Yeah.
Even though they could tell me. They wouldn't, like, give me anything in writing. And I'm like, this affects, like, a lot of people.
Man.
So I was like, you know, I'm about to get Live Oak, and I am never been so happy to cancel. Yeah. Now, let me say this. I'm sure there are great employees that work for Cox Communications, maybe even in our church, and it's not you, but it's just, I have not had a positive experience.
I think that's probably, it's a huge company, so customer service. All right, so this is a time when I was that
They're based
guy.
Out of Atlanta, so there there's go. Your dig
there,
in Atlanta.
There you go. Well, we got Chick-fil-A, okay. So this is a time when I had to be that guy. So, one of my cars previously was a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and the driver's side window wouldn't stay up, so I had to have it, like, up, and then I had to like duct tape it up because the mechanism was not, and I didn't know how to fix it at the time. This was, you know, before you could look everything up on YouTube. So I took it to get an oil change, and they lower your window, which I didn't know they did. And I do that as a precaution so they can't lock your keys in your car. Well, I go to pick up the car, and they're like, "Hey, man, your window won't roll back up." And I was like, "Yeah, I know, like, because you can't, you shouldn't, like, you know." That was hence the duct tape, you know, it doesn't work. And they're like, "Well, we didn't know." So it stuck down. And I was like, "Well, I got to get this fixed." And I was like, you know, they're like, "Well, it's just what we do." I was like, "But there's no sign that says we have to roll your window down." Hmm. They're like, "Well, we do." And I was like, "But I didn't know that. And I would have told you, don't roll the window down." So anyway, long story short, they ended up paying for my window to get fixed.
Aww.
And the next time I went there, there was a big sign that says, "We roll down your windows if your windows don't work." So, hey, for progress.
Look at you,
I mean,
Justin.
I think I was pretty assertive but kind. You know,
complaining.
You're respectful.
You're complaining.
I was complaining, but hey, they paid for the window to get fixed.
Complaining with a purpose, right?
And they made a sign. So I was that guy.
So in January of 2017, we were new foster parents, and we had just come back from with our foster son at the time, who ended up getting adopted by his grandparents. But we just came back from a court hearing, and it was like clear, like, hey, his parents, like, they're not going to get him back. And it was just, it was heavy. And I think we had something else going on at the same time. And Christy and I happened to, like, we were spending two nights in Destin together for our anniversary, because our anniversary is in January. And so we went to Outback the first night. We were going to go somewhere, like, fancy the next night. And we went to Outback, and we were just heavy-hearted. And actually, I think I was getting sick. And I just had, like, I don't know how, but I actually, like, shared a little bit about the server, and I was just kind of emotional. Anyway, so they came over, and she came over with her manager, and was like, "We just want you to know, like, we're paying for your dinner tonight."
Oh, that's cool.
And I just started bawling, crying, like, because it was just so, like, I felt it, you know?
Yeah, like, God, you see
I mean, it,
it
was like $60, you know, Outback's not, you know, cheap.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Like, that was really kind. That was Outback in Destin. I don't know if everybody has
Outback.
Positive experiences, but yeah.
That's good.
I don't go there that much because I don't have self-control. And
yeah.
It's pricey too.
It is, yeah.
I guess it's worth it. I guess you're all paying for the free meal they gave me.
That's right.
Okay.
So this is for one time we stopped.
Is our last one or did
no?
I go
we
first?
Got two. We got okay.
I got one more.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go. So went to Dunkin' Donuts one time, and I ordered coffee, and they're like, "It's too late to make coffee. We don't have coffee, and we can't make it." And I was like, "Really? You can't make? I mean." All right, whatever. So I was like, that's like you sell your coffee. That's why you go to Dunkin' Donuts, not for the donuts. Their donuts aren't great. You go to get a cup of coffee because you can't.
I mean, if you go to McDonald's, you know there's a 25% chance.
That's right. But like, you're like, Dunkin' Donuts. And they're like, no. And then literally was like, the guy's like, "Yeah, I just can't. I'm not going to make it." And literally just told me he wasn't going to make it. And I was like, all right. So I just sent Dunkin' Donuts an email, and then they made it right.
Nice.
I got coupons for like 4 free coffees.
Nice,
but,
man.
But you know, so. Bad experience, but they made it right. That's what we should do. All right.
This is my best one. So Cameron, he's actually shared his testimony last week at school. But in 2018, again, right? Yeah, wasn't I 2018 before? No, that was 2017. So in 2018, his arm had started bothering him. And I just thought he was a complainer. Mm. And then it ended up, he had what was called an aneurysmal bone cyst. And so, like, basically, there was cyst instead of bone in his arm. We're at Wonderworks in Panama City for Judah's birthday. They have a pitching simulator. He's throwing, and his arm just breaks. Mm. So we have to leave. It stinks. And they give us, like, refund, like, hey, you can rain check tickets. This is 2017, okay? Or 2018, sorry, February 2018. Well, that ends up being a two-year ordeal with him. We end up being busy. We just really can't go back until December of 2022. They've been begging to go to Wonderworks. I'm like, we're going to take these rain checks. They're faded, fully expecting them to say like, you know, and I came and I said, hey, we got these because my son broke his arm here. It wasn't y'all's fault, but, and they gave them to us and gave us passes for like the ropes course and all that too. Sweet. And I was able to like post a picture. It was just really cool. Like yeah, he had healed. It was just really, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. That's you'd love the stories like that. Yeah, all right. So I'm going to end with, I think that, everyone, should wait tables at some point, work in a restaurant. And, just because it'll grow.
It'll humble you, man.
But, so this is actually an experience that I was part of, but, as an innocent, doing the right thing kind of person. So, graduated high school and I worked at Shoney's. Isn't that funny? Did you even know that there are still Shoney's?
There's one in Panama City.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So because I was still 17, I graduated high school. I was still 17. I couldn't work other restaurants because you have to be 18 mm-hmm. to, you know, mm-hmm. serve a restaurant that serves alcohol. So it was the one restaurant close by where I could get a job. I had a friend from high school I graduated with who worked there. And so at Shoney's, they actually at the time made homemade milkshakes. So someone ordered a milkshake.
Really?
Yeah. Like you scoop the ice cream, pour in the milk, and use the machine to like make the milkshake. And I'll just say, as a waiter, it was kind of annoying because it took time and you're busy and it takes time. Well,
and could you get as many as you wanted?
You couldn't. It's a buffet. We always made a little extra and poured it into like the glass and drank it after. You know, we always.
No,
made
I meant
extra
like it's a buffet, right? So can people have?
No. This isn't. You had to order off the menu. Oh. Yeah. So, one of the ladies that I worked with, she was waitressing, and customers ordered milkshakes, and she said, "Sorry, our machine's broken," because she didn't want to make them. Like she flat out just lied, and I walked by and I heard that happen. I was like, "Oh man, like that." She just lied, but I was, you know. Oh, whatever. And then a little bit later, like I had a table to order milkshakes. I go make the milkshakes and bring them out. And they're like, "You just lied?" They like call her out. And I was like, and then she comes yelling at me. It's like, "Why did you like, yeah." It's like, just because you lied, I'm not going to lie. So I made their table milkshakes and took it to them too. You know, I'm like, it's just,
that's good.
You got you awesome. Don't. So it's hard to work in a restaurant, but don't lie, people. Mm-hmm. Don't lie. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go. There's some experiences. Good and bad customer service.
You're still, how many years ago was that?
25? That was a long time.
27 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. 25. Yeah.
Still 27 years later, you're making milkshakes that other people won't make.
That's right.
And your milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Oh my gosh, please. Did you really just?
Well, on that, we got
to
go.
We got to go. We both have a meeting to go to as we wrap this up. So, hey, thanks for listening. If you have complaints, do it. Just, yeah, whatever you're going to do with that, just do it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.